Whenever I need to learn one more subtle nuance about LinkedIn, I reach out to Bryn Tillman. Whenever I need to refresh my headline or add something to my profile, I read about how to do it from Bryn Tillman. Sure, there's lots of folks out there in hyperspace that talk a good social game. Bryn's got game. For the past year, she's been on a great journey to help start and ramp up Vangresso, the digital transformation company. Bryn is chief learning officer for this Philadelphia-based firm, and she does everything from content creation and curation to helping write buyer-centric profiles and even to coaching on digital success. Bryn is a faculty member at the Rutgers Business School Executive Education Program. She's a best-selling author of the great book, LinkedIn Sales Playbook, and you're missing out if you're not one of her more than 30,000 followers. Bryn, it is absolutely fabulous to feature you on 10 Minutes With.
Jack, thanks so much for having me be part of your 10 Minutes With series. I'm so excited. And coincidentally, my program is 10 Stages of a Successful Social Selling Program. So we'll try to get one a minute and then we'll get through it. Just quickly, I'm Bryn Tillman. I'm the Chief Learning Officer at Vangresso, and feel free to connect with me. Love to offer lots of insights, including the 10 stages to rolling out a successful social selling program. Before I jump into the stages, let's just answer the question really, like, why is social selling foundational? So the buyer's journey has changed. That means that the buyers are out there, They're searching on the internet. They're researchers, they're self-educators. When I started in sales, ultimately the only way someone could get information was to pick up the phone and talk to me. But nowadays, buyers are through 57% of their research process before we even know they're in the market. So the modern buyer requires a modern seller. And that's really a big deal. So the modern buyer is out there using and leveraging social and the internet. So the modern buyer has to be represented in the areas where the modern seller has to be represented in the areas where the modern buyer is shopping, essentially, right? We're also all digitally connected and driven. That means that we are on our phones all the time. In fact, we look at our phones 85 times a day on average. So, you know, when we react to the little red dot that says we have three new messages. So we want to be the ones that are putting out those messages and standing out with content. And the bottom line is social selling is the evolution of sales, period. It just is, right? So when I started in sales, there was no email, there were no cell phones, there weren't even fax machines, you know, and then all of a sudden email became one of the most powerful tools of sales. We were successful before, but email made it so much easier. Well, social is the next evolution of that sales process, so we've got to be there. There are primarily four pillars of social selling. The first is brand, and your brand is ultimately how you're presented. I'm going to talk about LinkedIn more than anything else, but it's really your digital footprint. It's the content that you share. It's, you know, it's how you're represented in the marketplace online. In my opinion, LinkedIn is there, your profile is your primary brand. Unless you are a crazy writer of content, that's what people are, where people are going to learn about you and, you know, really determine whether or not you're worth a phone call, which is our ultimate goal, and we'll talk about that. The next is networking with your current and new connections. One of the biggest problems with LinkedIn is we connect and forget. And then it's about prospecting, finding net new buyers that are potential clients. And then thought leadership. How are we continuing to feed our network really great content that keeps bringing them closer to our solution? Quickly, why LinkedIn is the primary tool. Most US B2B professionals are on LinkedIn. They may not be on Facebook or active on Facebook. They may not even be active on LinkedIn, but they're there and they have a presence and we can find them. And most of them are building a network on LinkedIn. So they're at least accepting people, which allows us to identify shared connections and ways to better connect with those buyers. More people that you meet are going to go to your LinkedIn before your website. In fact, there's a stat out there that 9 out of 10 people you hand your business card to that follow up on that business card are actually looking you up on LinkedIn and never get to your website. So we want to make sure that you've got that handled. And it is a dynamic Rolodex, meaning, you know, if you had your traditional Rolodex where your business cards were all there and, you know, even your address book, if someone leaves a job, you lose all their contact information. You can no longer get in touch with them. But on LinkedIn, if they update that, and most do, particularly when they have a new job, your Rolodex is automatically updated. And it's also the Rolodex of your connections. So you can search and filter who your connections know that you might want to meet. And that is really one of the foundational tools of the way to use LinkedIn for social selling and really grow a pipeline. Quickly, the goal of social selling is to be seen as that thought leader and subject matter expert, to find and engage with your targeted buyers, right? So it's and ultimately getting phone calls with those targeted buyers. That is the ultimate goal of social selling. So to our the core of our program, which what are the 10 stages of rolling out a program? Most banks and financial institutions will randomly roll things out. Like they'll buy Sales Navigator, give it to a team, maybe give them a little bit of training and say, go at it. And often those don't succeed because it's one of 10 steps, one of 10 stages. So we really, in order to have any program, these are the 10 stages that we really need to implement. The first is we've got to define our desired outcomes and KPIs. We're going to go deeper into each of these. Second is buyer identification and mapping, sales content plan, choose your digital tools, develop a custom playbook, write a buyer-centric profile, training, gamification, measure and adapt, and coach for improvement. So let's dive into those. The first one is define your desired outcomes and KPIs. Know what you want to get out of your program. If you don't know what you want to get out, there's no way we're ever going to have success. So decide, you know, do we want to get more appointments for our commercial, let's say commercial lenders, right? So do we want to get more appointments for our commercial lenders, and who do we want to get those with? You know, business owners within a certain radius. But really say, you know, this is the goal of our program. Then define your results goals. What, you know, ultimately we want our commercial lenders on 2 more appointments a week. That's a result goal, right? We can measure whether or not that happened. Then we need to define the activity goals. What do we need to do to get to those 2 more appointments a week? How many people do we have to connect with? How many of those connections have to turn to phone calls? We'll drill down on that in a later segment on KPIs. But really define not just what we want to get out of it, but what activity has to happen in order to reach those goals. And put together a crawl, walk, run. If we set them off on a marathon, they're going to trip and fall and get exhausted and conk out really early on. So we've got to do this in really bite-sized pieces that don't seem too intrusive into their daily activity, where they're coming back to you and say, I just don't have time for this. I can't do this. So we want to make sure we do crawl, walk, run. And the crawl needs to really have immediate or very quick return on investment of time so that they want to learn walk and run, also important. So buyer identification and mapping is number 2. You want to identify stakeholders' titles. That's business owners, CFOs, like really go down, look at all of your buyers and influencers that bring you in and need your services, the products and services that you're offering, and really build that out. You may have 8 or 10 titles. Maybe they're not the same in every company, but we want to identify exactly who our buyers, our decision makers, our influencers are, all the stakeholders. Once we do that, we want to build out an org chart. And after the titles, we want to determine, you know, are they an economic buyer? Are they a shopper? Are they kind of the you know, end user, where maybe the CEO is the economic buyer, but the accountant is the end user of the line of credit or whatever it is, right? Build out that org chart for each of the organizations that you're going to go after, so you can really understand and learn about the company. And the next thing you want to do on LinkedIn is start to fill out who fits these roles. Again, they're not going to be the same titles for every single company, but if we can start to identify, here's the CEO name, the CFO's name, maybe there's a controller, right? Like, let's build that out and determine what will their potential participation be in developing a new banking relationship. Next, you want to define all your LinkedIn filters. This is going to be location. Maybe you're going after a specific industry. There are lots of filters, and we want to identify and define really what filters are we going to use to help us best create a list of buyers to go after. And that's ultimately then creating Boolean searches with that information. Next is sales content plan. Now, there is a difference between marketing content and sales content. So marketing content is typically, it's product related, it could be even events related, but it doesn't move our buyer closer to our solution. Sales content is really identifying challenges and offering solutions to those challenges that gets your buyer moving closer and closer to a banking relationship with you. And it's really important that marketing understands the difference. You also need to map this content to the buyer's journey. So, your staff knows, right? What does the buyer journey look like? You know, what are they doing initially? Are they looking at rates? Are they looking at line, you know, what are they Googling? What are they looking for at the very top of the funnel? But also sales content should be content that really adds additional value after the first conversation. Maybe it's content that talks about differentiators and why, you know, the solutions with your bank are better, stronger, faster than they have now. And then you need content that overcomes objections, like, oh my gosh, it's so difficult to move banks and change everything over. And then talk about switch kits and how easy it is and how the average client can, you know, switch over in less than 24 hours, whatever that looks like, right? That's really content for sales, helping that buyer through the journey with you. Also, offer insights that have impact. Really talk, insights can be the risks that they're facing by not making a change, or the real value that they can get that has an impact on their businesses when they make a change. And be sure that all this content leads to your solution, that it's not leading with your solution. When you lead with your solution, it's pitch. When you lead to your solution, it's education. The next one is to choose digital tools. This is a big one. There are a lot of productivity tools out there that that banks need to decide on. Some are free, some are paid, but making it easy, like calendar syncing tools, and just really great tools that just make it much easier for people to go out and sell. You need a platform of record. Typically, this is a CRM where everything feeds in. When you have one really good platform of record, that will make everyone's lives so much easier, especially when you have relationships with companies where there's more than one touch. You know, you've got your branch and your lenders, right? Lots of different people touching a client, having one place of record will make a big difference in ultimately social selling and knowing what's happening. I talked about that calendar syncing tool. I love it. A very low cost investment, and people can schedule with me when they have questions, and then decide if LinkedIn free or premium is right for you. There are lots of other things to think about, but you've got to decide what is your sales tool stack. And you need to customize is a playbook. So in a playbook, you need to have daily and weekly activities. Folks need to know, it's like a checklist, really. What do I need to do every day to be successful? Or, you know, some things are once a week or twice a week. What do I need to be successful? You need to offer step-by-step, especially when it comes to social selling. Folks need to totally get and understand and embrace that, you know, that this is methodical. This is really, it's every day, it's steps to do to have consistency in sales. And we want to take away any obstacle to do that. So by offering click here, hover here, paste this, it makes implementation and adoption so much better. You want to make sure you've created custom message templates for introduction requests, for welcome messages, for targeted buyers, so that you know, anyone that's out there in a business development role doesn't have to rethink this every single time. And it's, you know, if there's a compliance issue or even whatever it is, we've handled that in custom message templates. The next thing is we want to write buyer-centric profiles. This means that our profile should move from a resume-based profile to a resource. So from resume to resource means we're not just talking about our personal responsibilities. We are really talking about the value we can bring to our buyers. We need to create curiosity and credibility inside of those buyer-centric profiles. And we want to make sure that they're customized for each position. We don't want to have generic for everyone, but we also want to have really bank-centric, buyer-centric. And we need to make it as easy as possible for everyone in the organization to be able to update their profiles with copy and paste, like really, really simple, because we can train it all day long. And you know, I've been doing this for years, and I know they leave going, oh my God, we need to do that, and they don't. So they need to have it, you know, really options for their profile in order to get consistency across all of the business development folks or the entire bank as a whole. Next is LinkedIn and social selling training. You want to make sure any training you bring in aligns with your current methodology. So the reason is if your messaging is not aligning with the way you're training them to sell, it's going to either cause conflict or fail. So any social selling training that you bring in should be completely aligned with whatever methodology you are training so that you have the highest level of consistency and success. It needs to be customized for every single company. Do not buy a or invest in any kind of training that's a plug and play, because it's stuff you could probably get on YouTube, right? You want to make sure that it is adapted for your particular bank. Look for hybrid, hybrid training for learning. Sorry about that. You want to make sure that you've got online self-study workbooks, that it's covering all kinds of learning. Some people learn better with videos. Some people learn better with live training. So make sure you've got all of that. And social selling needs to be taught by sales trainers and leaders, not by social media experts. Social selling is an extension of sales training. It is not a social media activity. And if you ask your guys and gals to do, ultimately to do social media, they're going to get turned off. That's not what they do. So it needs to be really taught from a perspective of from a sales trainer or a sales leader. We want to drive adoption through gamification. So again, we need to make sure that we're aligning with our goals in the organization. We want to incentivize it. We want to create healthy competition and keep it fresh. We have leaderboards and lots of ways to, you know, have contests. But at the end of it, it really when people have contests, they're talking about it and they're using it more and more. And so that gamification really drives adoption. 9 is measure and adapt for improvement. Identify what is working, what is not working, and develop fix-it strategies and tactics. So if you just send them out to do it and then they come back, oh, it's not working, but we don't know what it is that isn't working, we can't change it. Just like anything in our organization, we need to make sure that we're measuring it and we're developing, like, you know, these fix-it strategies and tactics to say, okay, this messaging isn't working for you. Maybe that's the problem. Or, you know, are people connecting and not responding? Or people responding and not turning into phone calls? We've got to figure out where is the breakdown and then fix, you know, try something new. And then what is working, we want to do more of, for sure. And 10 is coach for improvement. You need to coach both, you know, the representatives and the leadership. It's important. It's not just, you know, the coaching is for everybody at all levels to keep it consistent. You need to focus on real data. Don't coach on, you know, what ifs. When you focus on real data, it will really make an impact on, you know, they'll know what to do. You can actually physically make a change when you've got real numbers. When you coach, think about the start, top, stop, and continue, which kind of goes back to what we've measured. What should we start doing today? What should we stop doing today? And what should we continue in every one of the coaching sessions? And fill the box. This for me is, you know, a lot of sales trainers will talk about outside the box, go outside of your comfort zone. Although I think that there's a lot of validity to that, we have a big box to fill first. So recognize what each person feels comfortable with. Identify what successful activities we can do in their comfort level. That's the crawl part, right? What can we do that they'll love and will have impact? So fill the box before we go outside the box. So to recap, those are the 10 stages of rolling out a successful social selling program.
Well,
that's it, Jack.
Well, Bryn, needless to say, we don't get a chance to chat much, and folks in banking don't get a chance to hear you much. So I have some questions. First one is has to do with banking. You talked about banking, and as you know, we only work in banking. So it's a two-part question. What progress, in your opinion, you see this all the time, you're around banking all the time as well in your own personal life. What progress has banking made in working on social media, especially LinkedIn? And the second part of that question is, what industries are you seeing that bankers could emulate and say, you know what, this industry is really doing a good job with social media?
Two really great questions. Well, I am so pleased to see banks are opening up to at least LinkedIn, if not other social media sites. They are seeing the value in that. When I started doing this, I'd go into a bank and they'd be like, stay away. Like, this is totally not in our wheelhouse and we have no interest. And over time, very innovative banks would start to bring it in. And now almost all banks have embraced at least unlocking LinkedIn as a website that people can visit while they're at work. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, I'm working with a lot of banks that are really embracing this for their commercial lenders and their branch managers that are responsible for bringing in business development, because they're really seeing that this is where their, you know, buyers, where their potential clients are hanging out. This is where they are. And even if there's not a ton of content for them to share, it's a great research tool and a connection tool. And they're really using it in the best of ways, the couple of banks that I've worked with, to get more client referrals. So they're identifying who their current clients know and positioning themselves to get, you know, really great referrals from their existing clients. And that's where they've had the biggest success. When it comes to emulating a particular, I mean, there are a lot of industries that have totally and completely embraced. Software is a big one, probably because they're innovative in and of themselves, that they're thinking in that way. But I would say, you know, any software, productivity tools, CRM tools, that's a big area where they've had huge, huge success with social selling. You know, there are other areas similar to banks, like insurance companies. I work with a few very large insurance companies that are seeing great success. Again, well, both focusing on sharing content that attracts, teaches, and engages buyers, as well as leveraging it for client referrals. But the client referrals, in my opinion, is probably the biggest area, the fastest and biggest area of opportunity for banks.
Two more questions. One is, you're really good at this, and you taught me this. I think a lot of folks are don't do a very good job in touching their first level connections often. You touched on it a little bit. Can you talk about a best practice that you do or a client does so that when I connect with you, that I can reach out from time to time with value and things like that? Can you talk about that a second?
Absolutely. So content is really, content for sales, big deal, right? Like, this is stuff that really helps people move toward your solution. So when I first connect with someone, they get resources. I've got some great blog posts to help them on their social selling journey. So for folks to think about, like, what can I offer, let's say a business owner, if I'm going after business owners, what kind of content can I offer a business owner that can really have an impact immediately, even if they don't work with us, at the same time, move them closer to our solution? So, providing really great resources right away is important. Sharing content on a consistent basis on the newsfeed is important, but maybe every quarter coming out with another great piece that's specifically to business owners or specifically to CFOs that we can share. Benchmark reports are huge. So if a marketing group in the bank decide, we're going to do a benchmark report on, the top 10 things that CFOs are looking for in a bank. So we get so much from that, right? So we can interview CFOs and build relationships. We can share this with other CFOs. They always want to see how they compare, whatever that might look like. So developing these benchmark reports is another way to stay in front of people. And then that's a great reason to reach out to all the CFOs you're connected with. First, to ask them if they want to participate in a benchmarking report, and then next, once that's created, to share it with them. So that's definitely the kinds of content. You could do interview blogs. You could just stay in front of them and start interviewing CFOs or business owners in your community. Podcasts like this is a great way to interview people. There's so much that you can do that really moves the dial when it comes to content. But at the end of the day, remember, the goal is to take it offline. So don't just keep sharing without asking for a call. And when you ask for the call, I hope you find insights in this X that I share. I'd love to share additional insights with you, ones that can really help you in your receivable management, in your cash management. Like, I'd love to, even if we don't work together, I'm confident that our call will provide great value. Right. And so we've got to keep taking it offline. It's very hard to get inbound calling anywhere. So we've got to proactively ask for the call.
So here are a number of other questions that a lot of people ask me, and I'm not going to ask Bryn to answer them, but you might want to call Bryn or reach out to Bryn and ask some of these questions. For example, I get a lot of questions on Boolean searches and how to do that effectively and how to save them. A lot of bankers will do the Boolean search and then they won't save it, and then they're disappointed that it's not there. Another thing that Bryn's company can probably help you with is helping you with your homepage, and showcase pages. I think those are really poorly done by banking in general. And I think I see most home pages in banking are job sites. And that's really unfortunate. So there's a lot of things that Brin can help you with. One thing that, you should do, A, follow Brin, Mario Martinez Jr., Vivica Von Rosen, and a variety of others. And Vivica does a terrific job. And here's another thing you could ask Brin about native video. One of the things that's brand new, relatively new on LinkedIn, is your ability to get some video out there. Now, you got to live within your bank's social media policy, but that's very powerful these days. So, hey, Brin, thanks for being with us for 10 minutes, and all the best to you and Vin Gressel.
Thank you, Jack. Pleasure. I love working with you guys.
Thanks so much for sharing your expertise on how to establish a social selling strategy, Brin. You all can connect with Brin on LinkedIn. She'll connect with you for sure. Follow her on Twitter at Brin Tillman. And if you need help with an integrated social strategy, contact Brin and Vin Gressel at Brin, BRYNNE, at vingresso.com. Join us again for 10 Minutes With. To experience past programs, you can go to smnh.com and click on the Performance Insights tab. Then you can scroll down to the 10 Minutes With section. There's a whole bunch of great programs there. This is Jack Hubbard, Chief Experience Officer of St. Meyer & Hubbard. Thanks so much for listening.